You know, the Bible tells us that we're to expose our enemies. I didn't say your neighbor. I said your enemies. Now, your enemy may be using your neighbor, but it's the enemy you're supposed to be exposing. He's the one you're supposed to go in after. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are to hate evil. We are to abhor it, not pet it, not play with it, and not compromise with it, but to hate it. You are to hate evil. So you have a legal right to hate evil. In fact, there's an area which is called holy anger. And you can have holy, righteous anger, but it doesn't mean that we are to manifest in the flesh. We're to have holy anger. Now, go to Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter 6. In verse 7, would you read it with me? Galatians 6, 7. Do not be what? Deceived. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is fear. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also what? So whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Then he tells you what kind of sowing there is and what kind of reaping there is. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So what's the devil trying to get you to do? Sow to your flesh. In other words, your way, your desire. What you believe is good for you, not what God is saying. And let us not what? Grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we do not lose heart. Now, one of the things that the devil tries to do is bring weariness. Are you hearing? You know, when you begin to think of something, the voice of the stranger comes and says, you know, I'm really tired of this. That's the voice of the stranger trying to promote weariness. Does everybody get it? He's trying to promote what? Weariness. Why? So you lose heart, because if you lose heart, you won't reap the reward. See, what you sow in the Spirit, you're going to reap life. But the devil's trying to get you to sow in the flesh so that you miss the reaping of sowing in the Spirit. And then he says, so you don't lose heart. Why? Because you won't get the reward that's due to you if you start sowing in the flesh again, like your own strength. So he says, don't grow weary. Why? Because if you grow weary, you're going to lose heart. Now, weariness is an area where there's weakness. In other words, you get drained. You get what? Drained. Go to John 10. Spiritual weariness. Now, you may say, I'm sick and tired of doing sin. That's a good thing. So you're weary of serving the devil, aren't you? In John chapter 10, in verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the what? The door of the sheep. Who's the sheep? We be. We be the sheep. And all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Hello. In other words, you're not supposed to listen to the other voice. Doesn't mean you're hearing it, but you're not supposed to listen to it. Come on, are you with me? You're going to hear the other voice, but don't listen to it, man. Right? You're going to hear the thoughts, but once you agree with it, it becomes sin. So sin starts right in your thoughts, doesn't it? Once you agree with it, it becomes sin. Now the presence of evil is there, isn't it? Then the presence of evil tries to cause you to transgress. Once he causes you to transgress, then it brings a curse on you and your family line. That's why Jesus said you sin when you lust over someone. That's in your what? Thoughts. So you will, sin is the presence of evil, isn't it? So once you come agreement with that thought, you have agreed with the voice of the stranger. He has accessed you. The presence of evil is there. Now he's going to try to use you, isn't he? Now we shared this yesterday, that one of the things that the devil does is once he accesses you because you agreed with the thought, because now you've allowed him to have a legal right into your temple, he does not want to be manifested right away. Because once he's manifested, then he has to go. Are you hearing me? So once he's manifested, then he has to go. So what he's going to try to do in the meantime, while he's in you, because you know he's got to eat, that's why he cannot eat until he manifests. In other words, once the devil tells you this, well, this is the woman or the man for me, and you go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you've sinned already, and the presence of evil is in. Now, you've not fornicated, right? Or you've maybe not received counsel or whatever. So the devil starts watering that. But what he's going to do before he manifests, because he's got to get fed, is he's going to try to take everybody else out around you. Because he knows that he's got to eat. So before he can eat, that means he'll have to manifest. So once he manifests, then you see it and you go, oh God, how stupid of me. Hopefully. Unless you want to justify and say that this was God. But God never interrupts himself and falls in divine order, not out of divine order. Anything out of divine order is not God. Anything out of God's time is not God. And let me tell you, you might not reap today, but you will reap. Because you can't outrun the reaping. So we see here then. Now look, let's go a little further. He says in verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? More what? More abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Does everybody understand? Remember, you're not fighting flesh and blood. And where does it start? Right with an agreement and a thought. He accesses you. Then he tries to take out everybody else. He tries to justify and everything else because he's going to have to eat. And once he eats, then he's exposed and then you get rid of him mostly. Hopefully. Unless you want to keep feeding him and he grows and eventually he'll steal everything you have. Kill the will of God and destroy you. Remember, people don't fall just because they choose to fall. They fall by an agreement. But there's something that begins to happen in an individual's life. First of all, the devil begins to drain them. They become weary. They become discouraged. This is how the devil accesses you. Come on, man. Aren't you tired of this? Come on, I got something better for you over here. You know, God never interrupts himself. He tells you to go do something, you finish it all the way to the end. Because you're going to reap that someday. It may not happen today, but you will reap it. Listen, you've got to reap it. You cannot outrun the reaping. But hopefully the reaping will be turned to good. God says all things can turn to good, can't they? Listen, I had to reap by going to prison. But while I was in prison, I began to do some right things. Began to search over myself. I didn't know the Lord yet. And then sometimes we get out of prison and do the same stupid thing again. Hello? Because I didn't know the Lord yet. But now I'm in prison. But I'm a prisoner of Christ. Amen. But we go to the jails. And I'm able to sow and give back what God has done for me. So that we can go rescue those who are in prison. Because see, you can be in prison and be free. There are people who are not even doing time in prison that are more in prison by the enemy than they are in jail. Because they're in prison by lust, fear, anxiety, stress, perversion, disobedience, and you name it. So I want you to see here that what happens is you agree with that thought. He says, the Lord says that my sheep know my voice. My sheep know what? My voice. And that's so important that we discern what the voice of the Lord is. Not the voice of your soul or your desires or your emotions or your will. But the voice of the Lord. Not the voice of your flesh that cries out daily, feed me. What about me? As soon as you get up in the morning, feed me. I'm hungry. Come on, give me some eggs and flesh. Feed me. Don't feed your flesh in the morning. Feed your spirit first. Now you may need to have a cup of coffee so that your flesh cooperates with your spirit. So take the coffee with you when you go pray, all right? It's okay. I have a cup of tea with the Lord occasionally. I share it. So what the devil wants to do is do this. He wants to come to steal, kill, and destroy, doesn't he? But one of the things he begins to start with is weariness. He begins to drain you. He begins to cause you to become weak. He causes discouragement. Discouragement. He causes you to overwork. Man, you know when you're in the flesh. I hope. I know when I'm in the flesh, I don't want to be near nobody. I want to go in my closet, lock the door, and go in my nothing box. And I wait for the Lord to come and get me. Because he's the only one allowed in my nothing box. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. That's why I always tell everybody, man, if you're miserable, don't stay home, man. Get in the closet. Lock the door. Hang your flesh up for a while. Throw it in the cleaners. Let it get pressed. Till it's nice and cooperative, and then put it back on. So there's really no excuse for a believer to be miserable. If you're miserable, it's because you touched and agreed with something. Or you've allowed the devil to bring you weariness. You know, sickness and disease and infirmities can bring weariness, but then there's a place where you can come out of the weariness and you can rest. Why? Okay, Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting in you. See, but what happens is we begin to fight in the flesh because fear comes. And then fear says, man, you got to do this. Oh my God, God's going to hate me if I don't do this. Well, who told you that? It says his love towards us is unconditional. Yeah, but you don't know what happened to me. But he does. He knows it all. There's nothing hidden from him. He's been standing there our whole life with his arms open. But we keep shutting his arms and trying to do our own thing. And it doesn't work, does it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11. And Paul writes to the church and he says, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in what? Disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. In other words, you can't keep your mouth shut. You're so busy in everybody else's business, you can't take care of your own. And you know why? Because you become weary. Now you're looking for fulfillment in the flesh. Does everybody understand this? You begin to look for fulfillment where? In the flesh. He said you become disorderly. In other words, you have fallen out of the direction and the ordinances of the Lord and his divine order and guidelines. You've fallen out of those areas and you step out, you've gone beyond your boundaries and you're working things in the flesh. So now you're trying to get fulfillment by being a busybody in everybody else's stuff, thinking that you might fix them to feel fulfillment of your flesh. But actually, you're more of a stumbling block. Because things of the flesh are a stumbling block. Let's go a little further. Now those who are such we command, I say command, and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow what? Weary in doing good. Oh, hallelujah. If anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, which is a letter, he was given correction. This is a letter of correction to the church in Thessalonica. Note that person an idiot. Note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be what? Ashamed, and hope that he will come to repentance and get back in line. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always, everywhere. The Lord be with you all. Does everybody understand it? So this weariness will cause you to become disorderly, a busybody in the flesh. That's why some people, did you ever notice, they can't shut up? They're motor mouth. If you could put them upside down in the back of a boat while they speak, you could break world records. Give them a mocha and they're gone. You don't feed them gas. See, it all starts out with becoming weary. The devil brings fear and he says, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this. Then it begins to bring doubt and discouragement and unworthiness. The next thing you know, he hands you a bazooka to shoot yourself. Weariness. Weariness is an open door to oppression. People get oppressed very easily because they've come in an area of weariness. There's spiritual weariness that the enemy comes in a flood in a mighty way. He begins to push. Remember, the devil pushes, but the Spirit leads. Especially when you're at work. I'm telling you, work is a wonderful training place. So there's a few other places that I won't mention. But work is a wonderful training place. And in this, you'll find yourself that you've got to begin to cooperate with the Spirit because you'll begin to get pushed trying to please man instead of pleasing God. And the next thing you know, you're going beyond your boundaries. Now you're out of order. You're working excessive hours. You're not in connection. You're not in fellowship. You're doing all kinds of things trying to please man, and you're becoming weary. And the next thing you know, all kinds. See, the devil knows when you're weary because now he shoots you. He starts shooting you with every fiery dart that there is. Come on, I see him weak. Why? The devil tells us, right? He tells us, listen, I got something better. I know you're a little weary, but I got something that will help you. What is it? Lust. Disobedience. Come on, I got something over here on the other side. Now, the Bible tells us when a spirit leaves an individual, right, that the spirit goes through dry places. And when he doesn't find any and he comes back to your house, your temple, he sees that it's been cleaned up. The one problem is it's empty. It's what? Empty. Why? Because you've been drained. See, the devil will drain you. Then he goes and gets seven more and he comes back. And they're knocking on every door. And the problem is you can't hear the voice of God when you're in association with weariness. See, when you're so struggling with in the flesh, when you're fighting in the flesh, you can't hear the voice of God because you're in the flesh. One of the things that happen is when you're in the flesh, the voice of God gets shut off until you come out of the flesh, because God isn't speaking in the flesh. He's speaking in the Spirit. Now, he can speak through a circumstance to get your attention. Is everybody okay? Go to Hebrews 12. We must discern when the devil begins to bring weariness. Start at verse 1, please. Read it with me. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before. In other words, let's lay aside all of these things. Jesus said, come to me, you are heavy laden and burdened, and take my yoke. In other words, learn from me. See, we have a tendency to want to pick up everybody's burden. That's when you're in the flesh. Because you want to pick up everybody else's stuff. Because there's a self-fulfillment that you're looking to get by picking up everybody else's garbage. So you can justify yourself and why you're weary. And that's because you've agreed with the voice of the stranger. Verse 2. looking unto Jesus, who is our example, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become what? Weary and discouraged in your souls. In other words, look at what the Lord went through. He came as the example. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. What does he say? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, believe me, God is going to correct you. That's sometimes part of your reaping. There is correction. I didn't say guilt and condemnation. I said chastening and conviction. For if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening or correction or rebuke, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Many people run from the correction of the Lord. If you run from the correctioning of the Lord, you will have to reap what you're being corrected for. Does everybody get it? And you don't know when you're going to. It could be that promotion at work. It could be that new job. It could be a healing. It could be something that you must lose or not get or not grow or advance. Does everybody understand that? In other words, the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. So that means you will have to give up something, not get something, or lose something. Let's go a little further. But thank God, because the Word says, for when I am weak, I am what? I am strong. See, the whole focus that the devil's trying to do is get you to focus in the flesh. So what he does is he comes to drain you. It's like he pulls the plug out of the pool, you know, and you go to dive in the pool and there's no water. Ouch. And you get all frustrated and you get all fleshly. Then you try to fix your own flesh. So you go to the phone instead of the throne. Hallelujah. You go to the neighbor instead of the throne. You go to the medicine cabinet instead of the throne. See, you always go to the throne first, and God will direct you where to go. Because if you're being directed by the Lord, it's going to fall into place. Because his word won't return void. So we see that this weariness causes something very important to understand. It causes compromise. When you become weary, you will definitely compromise. They shake hands with one another. And in fact, sometimes I believe that they're twins. So if the devil convince you to be weary, he can convince you to compromise, can he? When you compromise, you become complacent. Complacency will produce laziness. Laziness will produce rebellion. Rebellion will promote pride. And what happens is we become forgetful. We forget what God has done. We forget all the times he pulled us out of things. And we start working more and more in the flesh and more and more in the flesh. I mean, it's like we're digging it. We're standing in quicksand and constantly get. The more you struggle in quicksand, the more deeper you get. Then we begin to criticize. Then we open ourselves to an independent spirit. And we're totally out of God's will. You want me to repeat that? When we become weary, weariness will cause compromise. Once you start compromising, you will become complacent. Once you become complacent, one of the fruits of it, you become lazy. Lazy. Well, you know, I know the word, but I just don't feel like lifting up my sword today. I don't feel like praising. I don't feel like doing this. I'm just stinking lazy. This will promote rebellion, which is witchcraft. Now you've opened the door to witchcraft in your life. And this will promote pride. Now, pride, in this area of pride, what he begins to do is he begins to blind you, because pride protects self and you can only see so far. And he causes you to forget the things of what God has done. And it causes you to try to fix it in the flesh because it's so stinking prideful. Then you begin to criticize. You begin to look at everybody else and criticize them for what they're not doing because you're not willing to do it either. You're willing to tell somebody, man, you're not right, but yet you yourself are divine, out of divine order. And what that opens the door is to an independent spirit. Well, it's just me and Jesus. Yes, I can hear God. I don't need anybody else to tell me anything else. You are an independent spirit. And an independent spirit is out of the will of God. Is everybody okay? Do you get it? 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 5, would you read it with me? Likewise, you younger people, submit, and die. Submit yourselves to your elders, to the ones who are overseeing you, who care for you. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility, not pride, not rebellion, not arrogance, but humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the what? Humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you when? In due time. Let him do it, not you. Casting all of your care upon him, for he what? Cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour with weariness. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by all of your brotherhood in the world. So everybody goes through it, don't they? See, the one thing we've got to be able to do is discern. Listen, when you become that weary, when you start, when you know that the thoughts are overtaking you more in the flesh than in the spirit, you better stop right where you're at. Back up, lift your hands to heaven, repent, and ask to get refreshed. God always makes a way of escape for us. Always. He never forsakes us. In fact, he taps you on one shoulder, taps you on the other, and starts kicking in the butt. Come on, I'm right here. Stop what you're doing. No, come on. You come with me. No, God ain't going with you. Come on, Lord, we really need to finish this. No, you need to die. But. You get in the butt ministry then, right? Cast your cares upon him. Depart from evil. Repent and get refreshed. Why? So that the mind and the heart of Christ can have dominion over again. You must be able to discern. See, let me share something what happens. When you go beyond those borders and you pick up these spirits, you reject counsel. In fact, when you're in counsel, you'll go, yeah, and you'll walk away. And it'll all be gone. Because the devil's blinded you now. Those spirits are constantly removing the counsel away. They're stealing it. It's even difficult to receive counsel in that circumstance. Everybody can be telling you the same thing, and you're thinking, okay, but not do nothing about it. Oh, I'll just trust the Lord. Instead of repenting. Instead of getting back in line. But keep associating with that independent spirit. And you know, the amazing thing is it's like, because we didn't reap right then, We think we're okay with God. He's approving what we're doing. You know, nothing's happening. Come on, I got a raise at work. Praise God. I must be doing good. I can still do what I'm doing. No. Eventually the rug will be pulled out from underneath you. It's just a matter of time. It could take a year. It could take 2 years. It could take 3 years. It could take four. It could take 5 years. See, because the devil now has a hook in the jaw. And he lets you run. Yeah, go ahead. And you go around telling everybody about Jesus. Oh, Jesus this, Jesus that. The Lord's done this for me. The Lord's done that for me. Hey, you need to have Jesus. And you get all these people that are looking to you now. What God has done, all of a sudden, whoom! Well, what happened to that person? Hook never came out of the jaw. Because God didn't send the reaping right then. That person thought that they were doing things okay. But you know how it started with? Weariness. Agreement. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that the devil's the most cunning beast created. He'll outwit you in a second. If you're in the flesh, you cannot fight the devil and you cannot win battles in the flesh. Only if you're in the spirit and you can see, hear clearly what's going on. I've seen marriages destroyed, people lose their children and everything else, them get out of position, all because of lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. But I'm telling you, you can't outrun that reaping. Something eventually will happen. 2 Samuel 11. Is everybody okay? Are you learning something? I thank God my daughter's learning something. You'll be tested later. We'll all be tested later, won't we? Come on, you know those areas. I mean, you sense it. You just know it. You know, that's why the Bible says, taste the Lord, for he is good. Man, when you start tasting the flesh, I mean, it's disgusting. You just want to... You start finding yourself in the flesh, and you go, man, this, that, and man, you know. Man, I hate what I'm doing. Man, why did I take this on? Why am I doing what I'm doing? This is disgusting. I hate being in the flesh. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Unfortunately, we have no glorified body yet. That's why we're waiting for it. It'd be nice if it was just hanging in a closet. You go put it on when you want, you know? Unfortunately, the flesh is still there. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? And it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rahab. But David remained where? At Jerusalem. David had just come in from battle. They'd been battling quite a bit. He became weary. He had the authority to say, listen, you guys go out there. I'm going to hang tough. I'm going to take a day off from battle. Remember, if you're not in a battle, you become a what? Casualty. So David chose to stay in that day. Made himself a cup of tea. Had a shot of Monavie. That's a healthy drink for those who think it's a wine. And verse 2. And it happened one evening while David was resting and everybody was out at battle, that David rose from his bed because he was resting. He was weary. And walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. And David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Now Uriah was David's right-hand man. In fact, this man gave his life for David. And David sent messengers. So David was warned, wasn't he? But he's in the flesh now, isn't he? Because he started out with being weary. And the devil convinced him to stay behind because he fell out of disorder, didn't he? And he became a busybody. And he went out on the porch and the roof. And he saw a woman that he desired because he was in the flesh. And they even came and warned him and said, listen, this is the wife of your best man. And he didn't care. He wanted to what? Fulfill his flesh. And David sent messengers and took her. And she came to him and he lay with her. For she was cleansed from her impurity and she returned to her house and a woman conceived. She sent and told David and said, I'm with child. Then David sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. That's her husband. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah had come to him, David asked how Joab was doing and how the people were doing and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. So Uriah departed from the king's house, and a gift of food from the king followed him. But Uriah slept. Look at this. Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and did not go down to his own house because of his loyalty to the king. So when they told David, saying, Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, did you not come from a journey? In other words, didn't you come from war? Why didn't you not go down to your house? And Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing. How can it be? How can I go sleep in my house and sleep with my wife while the rest of the servants of the Almighty God and my king and all of his servants who sleep out in tents with the ark and me go into a house? Not as long as I live will I do that. That was loyalty, wasn't it? And verse 12, then David said to Uriah, wait here today also, and tomorrow I will let you depart. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. Now when David called him, he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. Man, look at what the devil was doing. This man showed honor. God was trying to make way for David to say, listen, man, I slept with your wife. I repent to you. Please have mercy upon me and take a part of my kingdom for it. What I have done and tried to save this relationship. But no, what does he do? He becomes rebellious and betrayful. See, that's one of the things that starts with weariness. You will end up betraying those who God has put authority over you. Does everybody understand? And so here, David brings him in and says, okay, let's do something here, devil. And at evening, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but did not go down to his house. So even David brought him in, fed him, ate with him, and got him drunk, and he still would not go home because of his loyalty to the king. And he laid outside with the servants of the lord. In the morning, it happened, verse 14, that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. So he got Uriah up, hung over like crazy, and said, listen, take this letter to Joab. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him that he may be struck down and die. Wow. Do you see the end result that started with weariness? Does everybody see this? This is how the devil operates. He starts with weariness. He brings compromise, complacency, and laziness. Then he brings the area of rebellion and betrayal. And that, why? Because he's not fully, listen, he hasn't done manifesting. Because now David opened himself up to more and more demonic forces till eventually he committed murder of his best man to hide his sin. Or what we call the transgression. Now, you know, I want to share this because I'm done with this here right now. But I want you to understand something, that eventually he married Bathsheba. Uriah died. David brought a curse on his family line until all of his sons fell into fornication. The child that she conceived died. Are you hearing me? And the Lord said to David, because David's desire was to build the house of the Lord, he said, you can't, you got blood on your hands. Why? For killing Uriah. And he had to wait for Solomon to get, to grow and mature. And Solomon's the one to build the house of God. Let me share something with you. You can never serve in the house of God until you get things right. Oh, you can try, but you will fall. You will fail. You'll never reach your potential that God has for you to serve in the house of God until you get things right. Now, this may sound a little serious and harsh, but this is what's going on right now. Why? Because it starts with weariness. That's all it starts. The Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. David opened the door to compromise. The voice of the devil, didn't he? You know, the Bible says this. He said, those who sway from understanding lie with those of the dead. Those who sway from understanding lie with those of the dead. The devil positioned David to forsake his calling and the will of God to feed his flesh. And then he betrayed his most honorable and trusting servant and murdered him. All because it started out with weariness. Zephaniah 1. Zephaniah chapter 1. You know, people can reap in many different ways. You know, when there's incest in a family, eventually down the line there will be Down syndrome children. So we can reap even by our children in the area where our children are disformed or whatever. Why? Because the curse affects the blood. And that blood goes down the family line. And somebody's going to reap or be the fruit of your reaping. Zephaniah chapter 1, is everybody there? And verse 12. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are settled where? A complacency. I will punish them. Who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. In other words, oh, the Lord knows, but I'm okay. I mean, I know the truth. I'm covered by the blood, but I can just still do what I want to do. No, you will be punished. In other words, you will reap at some time. Okay, you ready? Verse 13. Therefore, their good shall become booty. And their house is a desolation. And their house is a what? A desolation. In other words, all of their goods eventually will be taken from them. Why? Because you've opened a door for the devil to come to steal, kill, and destroy. What may seem to be going right today eventually will crumble unless things are taken care of. Therefore, they shall build houses, but they will not be what? Inhabited. Whoa. They shall plant vineyards, but they will not drink their wine. In other words, it will not bear fruit. It won't turn to the good, will it? Does everybody see that? Why? Because of what? Complacency. Lukewarm. They won't endure. They compromise. It's all started off with weariness. Ephesians 4. Spiritual weariness. We must discern this so it doesn't wipe us out. If you're pushed, stop. Did you ever try to convince someone? Come on, man, you know you're doing the wrong thing. They're going, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know, but I still got to do it. Why do you still got to do it? Because I'm demonized. Say it. Because you can't counsel a demon. And that spirit eventually will drain you, steal, kill, and destroy. And no matter what you touch, it will only prosper to a certain limit, and then it will fall. It will never go any further. That's why some people can only go so far. They go in that cycle. There's an area where they can't get breakthrough. They go for a certain distance, and then bam, every time things looking good, and all of a sudden, whoop. They haven't broke that cycle. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Would you read it with me? Therefore, putting away what? Lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not what? That's called holy anger. You can be angry, but don't sin. Why? Sin is coming in agreement with the voice of the stranger. There is a holy anger that you should get, that you hate evil. That you what? Hate evil. That's a requirement from the Lord that you hate evil. He says, abhor those things of evil. Only hang around with those that have a pure heart. Hate evil. Hate disobedience. Hate it. Verse 26 again. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor what? Come on, say it again. Nor what? Give place to the devil. Don't give this place to the devil. It's going to start off with weariness. Don't give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. It's amazing how many people can't tithe because they've spent all their money on flesh. Well, I can't pay my bills then. It's because you don't tithe. That's why you can't pay your bills. And you're out of divine order. But let no what? Corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. In other words, man, you know, I'm really tired of this stuff. Man, I can't make this. I'm just no good. You know, I can't see how, I just don't, I'm weak. I'm just this, I'm just that, I'm. We call it a demonic pizza. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be what? Put away from you with all malice. Does everybody see this? Why? Because when you're in the flesh, you speak the flesh. But we should be able to discern these things. Do not give place to the devil. 2 John 7. It all starts off with what? Weariness. Spiritual weariness. Man, you know, and everybody knows when you get around somebody in the flesh. They can't sit still. There's no peace about them. They gotta do. You try and tell them something, they can't listen. They become very anxious, not willing to receive chastisement or correction. Complacent. Compromise. Couch potato. And that's one of the end results. Couch potato. 2 John verse 7. Would everybody read it with me? For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a what? Full reward. Who's trying to steal your reward? Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Wow. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, don't receive him into your house, nor greet him. The first house you don't want to receive it is your house. Why? Because it's going to cause division. It will cause a house divided. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. That's why the Bible says, expose wickedness. Warn your brother, or the blood will be on your hands. Depart from evil. Run from it. Hate evil. Give no place to the devil. Don't become lukewarm. Stay on fire for God. Stay filled. Don't go beyond your boundaries. Acknowledge these things. Cast them down. Sever yourself from these attachments. Isaiah 40. And trust the Lord. And we'll close here. Everybody okay? Isaiah 40, verse 28. Read it with me. Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the what? Hallelujah! He gives power to the what? But you got to get it, don't you? And to those who have no might, he increases strength. See, he's there. Do you understand that? He is there to say, stop! Look to me! Get your hands out of all that stuff of garbage work, flesh, this, that, whatever. Stop! Turn around and look at me! And I will strengthen you. Repent and turn from your ways of the flesh. I will strengthen you. I will fill you. Trust and rest in me. But. No buts. Don't but the Lord, I'm telling you right now. You'll go through a good trial then. Verse 29, he gives power to the what? To the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be what? Weary. And the young men shall utterly fail or fall. But those who what? Those who what? Those who what? Wait on the Lord. Oh, man. Those who wait on the Lord. In other words, you're turning from your fleshly position of disorderly conduct, walking out of that, and you're waiting on the Lord. And as you wait on the Lord, that means you're seeking Him. You're waiting on Him to strengthen you. See, some people go out without the strength of the Lord. They go out without the presence of God. They go out without the anointing. They will not wait for God. And they get all fleshly. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Does everybody see this? What's going to happen? They're going to come out of weariness. You and I must constantly discern when we're overworked, when we're overpushed, when we're doing the things that are disobedient to what God has given us in life. Why are you disobedient? Because it started off with weariness. And you're trying to do works in the flesh. You're trying to do it in your own strength. You cannot do the things of God in your own strength. You will fail and fall every time. But those who wait in the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because you discerned, you turned, and you waited. It all starts off with weariness. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And we ask for your forgiveness in every area we have gone beyond our borders and the boundaries that you've established for us. Come in agreement with weariness, complacency, and compromise, and rebellion and betrayal. Lord, we repent in every area of those things that we have forsaken you and promoted the works in the flesh in our own life, where we didn't trust you or didn't surrender you or didn't submit to those you've put underneath us or to your ordinances. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness today. We ask for the washing of the blood of Jesus, and that you would search us through and remove those things that offend you and bring your light and truth. Now we take dominion and authority right now. We break every emotional attachment with these areas. We sever every corruptible seed that's been imparted in us. We forgive and bless those who persecute us, use us, and speak against us. We hold no grudge towards anyone or anything. Or unforgiveness. We hold nothing towards anyone, but we sever ourselves and commit all things unto you, casting all of our cares upon you, for you do care for us. And we repent for trying to fix our own flesh. We will wait on you, Master. We will wait on you. And we will trust you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah!